Have you ever walked away from a conversation feeling completely misunderstood? In our increasingly divided world, meaningful communication has become both more difficult and more essential. What makes Oren J. Sofer's approach to communication so powerful is his unique integration of three distinct traditions: mindfulness meditation, nonviolent communication, and somatic experiencing. This combination addresses both our internal landscape and how we express ourselves externally, creating a comprehensive framework for genuine connection. Most of us receive little formal training in communication, despite its centrality to human existence. Instead, we absorb patterns from our families and cultures. Some learn to prioritize others' needs, others to use force or manipulation, and many disconnect from vulnerability entirely. These unconscious habits determine the quality of our relationships. The good news? We can unlearn these patterns and develop new ones that serve us better. The transformation begins with something deceptively simple, yet profoundly powerful: presence. Presence, being aware of what's happening in the moment without judgment, forms the cornerstone of effective communication. When we're fully present, others feel our engagement, creating space for authentic interaction. Yet we often find ourselves physically in conversations while our minds wander elsewhere. Leading with presence means entering conversations from a place of grounded self-awareness. Like a gyroscope finding its center, we can learn to notice when we're caught in reaction and readjust. Simple practices like orienting, looking around with curiosity, help us return to presence by signaling safety to our nervous system. Sometimes, presence speaks louder than words. Sofer's story of saying goodbye to his grandmother in Israel illustrates this. Though they never shared a language, their final farewell of holding hands in silence conveyed more than words could express. Listening forms the cornerstone of dialogue. True listening requires inner silence, emptying ourselves to receive something new. Even when physically quiet, we may not be truly listening if we're mentally preparing our defense. It means letting go of self-centeredness, creating wholehearted receptivity born from genuine interest, like closing your eyes to fully smell a flower. The most powerful tool for cultivating presence is the simple act of pausing. A single pause can create vital space between impulse and reaction. One colleague's work with incarcerated youth reveals how crimes contemplated for less than 2 minutes led to century-long sentences, highlighting the critical importance of that pause. When our needs aren't met, we often default to blame rather than understanding. Telling others what's wrong with them typically breeds defensiveness, not connection. The key to effective conversation lies in approaching with curiosity and care. African-American musician Darryl Davis exemplifies this through his work with KKK members. Curious about how people could hate him without knowing him, Davis has convinced over 200 Klansmen to leave through genuine friendship and conversation, not confrontation. All human actions stem from attempts to meet fundamental needs: safety, belonging, meaning, or peace. Though we pursue these needs differently, understanding this shared foundation helps bridge our differences and creates connection. When people feel truly heard, they often experience relief. This creates space for reciprocal listening, making empathy mutually beneficial. Reflecting before responding builds understanding and brings clarity to conversations. Empathy, our intuitive ability to understand others' experiences, is hardwired through emotional contagion and mirror neurons. While naturally empathetic, social conditioning can teach us to fear differences. When empathy feels difficult, we often create negative narratives instead of recognizing that conditions for connection might simply be missing. The third step in effective conversation, focusing on what matters, builds on presence and curiosity. This involves discerning four key elements: observations, what happened, emotions, how we feel, needs, why it matters, and requests, where to go next. Cultural myths about independence often prevent us from acknowledging needs. Gender conditioning plays a role. Men may resist seeking support, while women might sacrifice their needs to care for others. Speaking from vulnerability carries profound power. When Sofer finally expressed his raw feelings to his father, who struggled with obesity and depression, "I feel so scared, angry, worried, and helpless," it transformed their relationship, even though it didn't solve the health issues. Like mindful listening, effective speaking requires clear observation. Separating facts from interpretations creates a shared foundation that reduces defensive reaction. Emotions provide vital information about our needs and environment, guiding our conversations, though their intensity can sometimes lead to regrettable actions or silence our truth. Despite cultural myths portraying emotions as flaws to overcome, they're natural biological functions, as essential as our immune system. Like smoke detectors, emotions signal what matters: pleasant ones when needs are met, unpleasant ones when they're not. A common misconception is that others directly cause our emotions. "I'm angry because you." This blame pattern keeps us trapped in conflict. In truth, events are stimuli for feelings, but our needs, values, and interpretations determine our emotional responses. Taking responsibility for our emotions means connecting them to our needs rather than blaming others. This shift transforms emotions from a liability into an expression of our values, restoring our autonomy rather than giving others power over our emotional state. Making requests is essential for moving conversations forward, yet many avoid asking for help, fearing they'll impose on others. While respectful, this shouldn't prevent making requests. Effective requests are positive, stating what we want; specific, concrete and doable; and flexible, open to alternatives. The key distinction is intention. Requests invite collaboration with phrases like "would you be willing to," while demands threaten consequences. Learning to communicate effectively is like learning to swim. You must get wet. While shifting communication habits resembles turning a ship at sea, just two elements can alter course: adjusting the rudder and maintaining direction. Even a small initial change can dramatically shift the destination. As we practice these skills, we develop the ability to hear every statement as either "please" or "thank you." Essentially, "please meet my need" or "thank you for meeting my need." This perspective transforms our emotional responses, as "please" gives rise to compassion and "thank you" to gratitude. In a world increasingly characterized by division and misunderstanding, these skills offer hope, not just for better personal relationships, but for healing our collective wounds. By leading with presence, coming from curiosity and care, and focusing on what matters, we create the conditions for genuine human connection. The next time you find yourself in a difficult conversation, remember: a single pause, a moment of genuine curiosity, or a vulnerable expression of what truly matters to you might be all it takes to transform conflict into connection. The bridge to understanding is always just one authentic conversation away.